You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And this week we finally have a phone link with Captain Maurice Seddon, Royal Signals retired, after two or three false starts and a postponement. Hello, Maurice.
Hello.
Can you hear me all right?
I hear you clearly, but very faintly.
Clearly,
nothing like as loud as you were earlier on.
Uh-huh. Clearly but faintly, nothing like as loud as it was earlier on. Like, it's pretty much the same with you. You're kind of faint as well.
It's a heavily attenuated signal.
Right. I don't know if we might... We'll try and improve this sort of as we go along. We'll kind of just have to sort of ad-lib.
Ever since when I spoke with Richard Thomas just now,
yep.
His voice was as clear as a bell and filled the whole room with sound.
Uh-huh.
It was perfectly clear,
right.
And he told me that he was receiving me very clearly as well.
Yep.
As soon as he went off the air, and it went over to transmitting only the what was being sent on the transmitter, presumably, on the broadcast, from that moment on, it was very low in level and has remained so ever since and still is.
Uh-huh. Okay, well...
It's only just audible. I have to strain my ears to hear what you're saying.
Really? Okay.
If there was any background noise here, such as a bark or an aeroplane, I wouldn't hear you at all.
Right. Can you hear me now? How does that sound?
Exactly as before, only just.
Right. Okay.
Somebody's pushed a switch in the wrong direction, have they?
I don't think so. But anyway, let's just press on and try and... Perhaps... Are you on your...
I'm on my special machine. If you like, for comparison, we can go over to the BT telephone.
Yeah, let's try
Hold
that.
Hold on, we'll do that.
Okay.
Just a minute. Right, I'm now on the BT telephone. How is that?
Well, how does that sound to you? Is that any better? Or?
Well, I now can't hear you at all. It's so faint.
Right, okay.
All I hear is a murmur in the background, but I can't discern what the words are at all.
Great.
Well, I'm going to go back to my machine.
All right, go back to your machine.
That was an interesting comparison, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because on this one I can discern what you're saying,
yep.
But it's very, very quiet.
All right, but now you're back on the... on your...
On the Maurice Seddon machine.
Yes, which is a... what you call... Is it, which is simplex
well,
or duplex?
Well, you can call it a loudspeaking telephone, or you can call it a... you can call it, I suppose, a simplex telephone. Or you can call it what you called it, a one-way telephone.
Yes, so this means that you're operating a sort of clickback system, aren't you?
Yes, but I think you will find the probability is that your modulation level going to the transmitter is as feeble as your level is going to the telephone line. Probably, therefore, there is a fault at your end, which is going to limit the usefulness of the broadcast to the few people who are getting a very strong signal.
Well, no, I think I'll check with Chris, but I think the broadcast level is fine. We can hear it fine at this end. The only problem seems to be that you're only hearing me faintly, so don't worry.
What you could do,
you
might get a better line this way. If we clear down and if you dial my number again, you might be lucky and get a better line.
It's actually much clearer now at our end.
Well, here it's exactly as it was. It's clear but extremely faint.
Right. Okay. Chris?
Why don't you clear down and dial my number again?
Right.
You want to do that?
Do we want to do that? No, we can't do that, Maurice. We'll just have to carry on.
Okay, right.
Right.
I think it's probably going to mar the broadcast.
Well, tell us about your telephone system for a start.
Yes. All right. I'm nominally only military. I'm a retired regular antiquarian, Royal Signals. To use the terminology of those times, they used to call me the wireless boffin.
Yeah.
And with that as my background. Many, many, many years ago, or it must be 40 or more years ago, I created my own form of telephone, which has certain inherent advantages and certain disadvantages.
Right.
Amongst the advantages are, this was at a time, mind you, when hands-off telephones didn't exist, or hands-free, rather.
Yeah.
So, number one, it gave me the hands-free facility.
Yeah.
Number two... It gave me a very loud incoming signal coming from a loudspeaker, in this case suspended from the ceiling.
Yes.
Though it could be equally somewhere else, but I find the ceiling quite a convenient place.
Yeah.
That sound level can be varied with an individual volume control for the incoming signal.
Right, okay.
Now, on the transmit side, I would normally use a distant microphone, which in this case is about 18 inches from my mouth on a table. But for demonstration purposes, I wouldn't normally do this, but I can bring it closer and closer to my mouth until it's now about 2 inches from my mouth. How do you receive my speech now?
Yes, it's much louder.
Yeah. Much louder, yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, now, I'm now going to put it back where it was, into its normal position. Perhaps I ought to keep it in that close position in view of this fault on the line.
Well, no, because that's deafening at this end.
It's deafening, yes.
Yes,
okay.
It's too. Well, it's causing distortion.
Now I put it back into its normal position, which is about 18 inches from my mouth.
Can you hear me at the moment?
I can hear you.
Yeah, because what people listening to this, they won't quite yet understand that you are operating this sort of system, which means that basically you can't be interrupted, because if I speak when you're speaking, you can't hear me, can you?
That's absolutely right. That's one of the inherent disadvantages, and this is why I'm keeping my sentences fairly short.
Yes, I see. So each time you finish a sentence, you then operate a switch.
I have to operate a send-receive switch,
yeah,
which could be hand-operated, but I prefer the foot switch, which I'm using.
Oh, right, like a foot pedal.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, some people have objected to this system. They don't like it, do they?
Yes. There's a small minority of people with whom it is not possible to use the system. It's, I think, a partly psychological objection.
Yeah.
Part of the objection is that they're not used to it, and they can't synchronize their outgoing speech start and stop with the start and stop at my end.
Right, I see. Yeah, so has this led to problems with communicating with people on the telephone?
I'm sorry. Try speaking a bit closer or louder, and I may hear you better.
Yes, well, I'm right up next to the microphone.
That's a bit better now.
All right.
Not a great deal, but it's a bit better.
Yeah. Oh.
Hello?
Hello.
What was that shrieking sound?
Well, I don't know.
Well, that was nothing to do with my end, I can assure you.
All right. Okay, well, let's just press on. So there are... I think you've suggested that there is a sort of psychological unsuitability of this system for some people.
I think probably, yes. The thing is that at my end, there is always the possibility, and this does happen quite often, that I think I'm pressing with my foot on the foot switch, and in fact I'm pressing on something else nearby, so the switch isn't depressed, and the result is that what I say doesn't get sent to line.
Right, right.
In other words, I'm still on receive and not on transmit.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, well, look, that's probably enough about that, about your sound system. The issue that we really wanted to discuss today, or that really you wanted to discuss with me, was this ongoing legal battle with your neighbour about barking dogs.
Yes, indeed.
Now, your neighbour, perhaps you can you run us give us a synopsis of the situation?
Yes. I'm 81 and a bit more. I've lived here for 48 years at a place called Datchet, which is near Windsor, in an ancient, historic and crumbling cottage called Datchet Cottage.
Yep.
I have all sorts of technical hobbies, and the house, which is small, is a little cottage, is surrounded by a relatively large piece of woodland.
Yeah.
In the woodland, I have stored away all sorts of technical artifacts which interest me, because I'm a collector of all sorts of obscure technical things.
Yes, I can hear you.
Right. About six or seven years ago, a new neighbour moved in. I called him my ghastly neighbour, which he truly is.
Right.
And this man has done nothing but complain about me, officially in writing to the council and to all and sundry, ever since he came here 7 years ago.
Okay.
He complains about everything you can imagine. I mean, so much it isn't worth even starting to explain. Everything. Nothing that I do pleases him. He loathes every aspect of my life.
And how long has he been there?
6 or 7 years.
Right, I see.
Now, he is currently attacking me in courts of law, and the matter goes to court in a big way for the main hearing in August this year.
Yeah.
If my memory serves me correctly, I think it's the 15th of August and the 22nd of August.
Yeah.
And he has recently escalated the case from what it was in the Maidenhead court. He's escalated it into a higher, more expensive court, namely Bracknell.
Yeah. And
he has succeeded in obtaining the sympathetic assistance from, I don't know if I'm using the right word, stool pigeons. I'm not sure what a stool pigeon is. But anyway, he's managed to get people who will do his bidding, namely nothing less than the very influential Royal Windsor, what is it called, RBW, the Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead Council.
Oh, yes.
Which, of course, has access to unlimited public funds with which to destroy me. And they, the council, together with my ghastly neighbour, are attacking me. And I must just see when this thing is. I think it's in August. May as well get the date right while I'm on it. I think, yes, it's the 15th. 9:45 in the morning at the Bracknell Court. And then again it continues on the... at 9:45 in the morning on Wednesday, the 22nd of August.
Okay.
Now, that they've also escalated. It was formerly to be a one-day hearing, and they've escalated it to a two-day hearing.
Yes. Now, so he's basically taking you to court specifically on the issue of your barking dogs.
Well, it's rather more complicated than that. He complained to the council, who then issued a noise abatement order against me.
Yes.
That was done way back in January this year.
How many dogs do you have?
Well, I prefer not to divulge that. I never do divulge it. Suffice it to say, it's a large number. It's a larger than usual number, but it's the order of magnitude which is needed for my particular problems here.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of dogs are they?
They are rather like me. They're healthy mongrels.
Right.
I am Hanoverian German hyphen French hyphen English.
Yeah.
With Italian overtones. They are basically Welsh sheepdog intermixed with Labrador.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the reason I have many dogs is important because it shows it is the background to this whole complaint. When I came here first in 1958, from that moment onwards, I have been targeted, I've been harassed, I've been persecuted, I've been vandalized, I've been robbed, I've had things stolen, I've had incursions again and again and again. And whenever I ask the police formally, but who are these people who are doing all these dreadful things? They, the police, always replied in the following terms. Oh, this is typical of the behavior of the diddy coys. Diddy coys. Please note that word was taught to me by the then police.
Right.
I had never heard the word diddy coy in my life before, and I had to ask what it meant. And I was told it's a sort of semi-gypsy, but then my informant would pause and would say, but you see, they're not proper gypsies, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did not see, and I do not see, but I do know what sort of people they are.
Well, all right, so you've got these dogs as protection against what sort of local hooligans, you might call them.
Yes, I should explain. These people are violent, they are dangerous. They think nothing of attacking the police and assaulting them to such a degree that the concerned policemen were then for months unable to carry out their police duties because of the injuries received from the diddy coys.
Right, right.
That's the sort of people they are.
Yeah.
Now, the police, understandably, are terrified of these people. And not only are they terrified, but they also accord to the diddy coys an almost complete freedom from prosecution, no matter what they do.
Right. So you're saying that basically you need the dogs for your own protection.
Yes. I must go back to some of the earliest stages. In the early 1960s, I had a next-door neighbour. He lived in the very house where now my ghastly neighbour lives. And that man was called Frederick Linton, L-I-N-T-O-N.
Yep.
He was a diabetic. He worked as a screw and gear maker in a little engineering works which was demolished and the site has been redeveloped. It was in Datchet. It was called Carter Screw and Gear Company. And he very kindly acted as my caretaker when I was away and abroad.
Yes, I can hear you, Maurice. Carry
right.
on.
In those days, I used regularly to go to Italy and Germany for long periods where some of my connections lived.
Yep.
And he used to caretake while I was away. His wife was also a diabetic, and so was their son, aged 10. He, Mr. Linton, was a man of his early 60s. One day I returned from Germany and Italy, And I was horrified to hear from his wife, who greeted me, that two or three days before my return, he had heard sounds of incursion into my grounds.
Right.
He was, of course, looking after and feeding the dogs. And when he heard these sounds, having the key, he entered the grounds and found the place was in the possession of a gang of didikois.
Yes.
Who had already taken various artifacts to themselves, my artifacts, with the intention of stealing them when they left.
Uh-huh.
This man very bravely protected my house against these dreadful people, but for his pains he was most violently physically assaulted.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
Diabetics are delicate people, and if you assault them, they're liable to die.
Right.
In the nature of diabetics. He was violently assaulted. He had to stagger home to his sickbed, where he still was when I returned. And not very long after, a matter of two or three weeks or so, he died.
Right, I see.
Now, the police hushed the whole thing up. They pretended that nothing had ever happened. And they did absolutely nothing. And there was no charge brought, there was no arrest, absolutely nothing at all.
Yeah.
As if nothing had happened.
Okay, now, you don't actually have the money for legal advice, do you?
I don't.
So you don't have a lawyer?
No, I don't.
But you have something called a Mackenzie friend, I think.
Right.
Can you explain what that is?
Well, I can tell you very little about it. I know little about law. Apparently in law, the term Mackenzie's friend means a non-solicitor legal advisor or helper who attends the court together with the defendant or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, now, going back to that noise abatement order, jumping a bit, when that was issued, I inquired of the court what I could do to defend myself against the noise abatement order.
Yeah.
They said there is only one thing to do. You, that is I, although I was the person being attacked by the council, suddenly had to become the... what is it called? I can't remember the term. I had to be, I think it's called the, I don't know, I've forgotten the word.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be the active partner, and I had to take out a summons, which I did on their instructions, against the council for wrongful issue of a noise abatement order.
Right.
So in other words, although I was in effect the victim of the attack from the council, it was made to look as though I was attacking the council in law. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. And
that's extraordinary. I must say the law seems to be wholly irrational in these things. Anyway, that was done, and that has the effect of blocking temporarily the noise abatement order.
Right.
I'm still living under that shadow.
And you in fact won the first case, didn't you? They've
yes,
taken
the
you to court.
Yes, the case went to court in May of this year, of last year. And I, thanks to God and to the excellence of my very dear Datchet friends who supported me, the case was found in my favour.
Right. So how is it they can bring the same case again?
Well, that's what I asked. I thought, having won, that was the end of that. Not a bit of it. It turns out that they're quite in their rights and legally in order in bringing an unlimited number of successive things against me in law, provided that each time they refer to a different period in time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And they're now currently in the midst of bringing the second law case.
I see.
Now, it is quite apparent that the council is absolutely livid that they lost the case the first time.
Yeah.
And therefore they've taken very great precautions to sew the thing up very efficiently this time,
uh-huh.
to make quite sure that they destroy me.
Right.
Now, when I say destroy, well, I mean it in the following terms. It's really a matter of life and death for me.
In what sense?
If they succeed, it looks as though they probably will, unless a godsend and a miracle happens, if they succeed, one of their things is that they will deprive me of my dogs.
Yeah.
It says in the noise abatement order, remove the dogs or, and then follow various alternatives. Basically, the dogs have to go.
Right,
now,
right.
Now, if the dogs go, it becomes impossible for me to go on living in this house, because I have been harassed to the ends of my patience and to the end of my nerves over all the years.
Yeah.
The police have never done anything about it at all. They have been completely and utterly, utterly useless.
Right.
I'm sorry to have to say it, but it is the absolute truth.
It is worth pointing out, isn't it, that you actually live directly under the flight path of Heathrow Airport.
That's right, and the noise level is absolutely thunderous. A few yards above the roof, the aeroplanes fly off, and the whole place quakes and shudders and clatters with the noise. And this happens every 1.5 minutes during the daytime, and although less frequently, it still happens in part during the night.
Does it? It happens throughout the night as well?
Yes. Not to the same extent,
yeah.
But sufficiently to disturb sleep.
Yeah, because your neighbour's main complaint is that the dogs bark at night, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, but you're really, I mean, it's a pretty noisy area anyway, and you've actually endured this sort of noise for 48 years, and now somebody is asking you to get rid of your dogs because of the noise of your dogs.
Exactly. Now, if I have to get rid of my dogs, and they're determined that that is going to happen, because, as I say, they've escalated everything and they've taken on an expensive barrister as well.
Right.
Then it will become impossible for me to live in this house.
Uh-huh.
Now, there prevails on this house a special legal arrangement. I am only what is shown as, in law, the owner for life.
Yeah.
Which means that when I die, the house reverts to the long-term owner.
Yes.
Now, that situation only remains so as long as I live in the house.
Right.
If I move out of the house, I lose my rights here altogether, and I then become homeless because I have no money with which to buy another house or to rent another house.
Yeah. Can you...
Therefore means that I will become a sort of vagrant in the road, because I understand that the local authority would then deem me to have made myself voluntarily homeless, and that exonerates them from all responsibility of providing accommodation.
Yeah, briefly, what is this? There was a case that Lord Denning, wasn't there sort of Lord Denning's report on this kind of issue?
Yes. Now, according to what various people have told me, Lord Denning, who I gather is a sort of demigod of the British juridical
yeah.
profession.
Judicial,
and
yeah.
who is described always as Lord Denning, M.R.,
yeah.
meaning Master of the Roll.
Yeah.
Anything that he said was considered like a word of God.
Yeah.
And he apparently said that in the case where a complainant moves into a neighbourhood in which there exists in which there is a pre-existent nuisance, a pre-existent nuisance, then the complainant has no case.
Right, right.
In other words, that he only has a case if nuisance arrives after the complainant, has moved in. Then yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But in this case, absolutely no, because he arrived 7 years ago, and I had been here already 42 years by then.
Yes, I see. Now, Maurice, we've only got we've got about 5 minutes left of this programme. I think you wanted to make a slight sort of appeal to somebody, didn't you?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so
I would be most grateful if anyone who hears this and who finds the matter interesting, if they would be very kind and get in touch with me and tell me whether this edict of Lord Denning still applies today as a fundamental principle of English law, because if it does, as I see it, it knocks the whole bottom right out of this case. The whole thing falls to bits.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Anything else they may say doesn't matter. I see in the Lord Denning thing almost my only possible salvation in this case, because they've taken such trouble to get detailed proof of the existence of alleged nuisance and barking at certain times of day and night and all the rest of it,
yeah.
including recordings and officials certifying it and all the rest of it. The other thing is, if there's anybody who felt inclined to help me with legal help on the thing, I'd be very grateful, because I just have not, I have very little money, and I can't afford a solicitor.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, is there anything you want to add to this?
Probably a thousand things, but I've forgotten what they are.
Right.
Can you prompt me on anything?
Well, I think we've probably just about covered it, that issue. I mean, you used to earn your living with repairing valve equipment, didn't you?
Yes, I was concerned for many, many years with what now one might call veteran and vintage wireless equipment.
Yeah. And do you still do any of that? Or
A very limited amount.
Okay. So if someone had a piece of valve equipment that they might want attention to, is this sort of thing you still might get involved in? Or
yes, in certain cases I would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it on the scale that I used to do it, because after all I'm now retired.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's an interesting project, and in certain cases I would take it on.
Okay, well,
I would point out that sort of work is not cheap.
Right. All right.
It's rarity value.
Okay.
There are very few people who know how to do it today.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Maurice, for coming on the program. And if anyone has any advice or can suggest anything that might help Maurice, they can contact me via Resonance 104.4 FM. All right, Maurice. So I think we're going to sort of go into the next program now.
Well, thank you very much. I wish your broadcast all the best. And do please let me know what the cause is of this tremendous drop in signal level, which still prevails to this very moment.
All right. I'll get on to the engineer and see if we can work that one out.
All the best all right. to you and yep. your wireless station.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Maurice. Bye.
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 Good afternoon, you're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM and this is Little Atoms. Little Atoms is Resonance's resident enlightenment values show, a show about atheism, rationalism, science and the left. It seems like a month since we've actually been here live in the studio. The last couple of shows have been pre-recorded, so I'm Neil Denny and I'm going to hand over to my co-presenter for today, Richard Sanderson, who will introduce us to our guest today, the writer Tom Standage.
Thanks very much, Neil. It is indeed a while since the original Little Atoms team have been together in the studio, so it's nice to be back, albeit in the new surroundings with our marvellous engineer, Rich